Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, it's Kevin J, the best thing since November, and you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Eva Lovelologist Elle Didrus about her retreat. I know I've said that all wrong. You tell the listeners how you pronounce that.
Well, I like to call myself an evolvologist, although the business name is Evolvology, but that was good. That was good. We like it.
Elle, thank you for coming on the show and thank you for correcting me. I really appreciate it. Well, talk to us a bit about your background before you got to where you are now. I think that'd be quite interesting for our listeners to hear.
Yeah, I'm married. I've got a hero husband, as I like to call him. I've got 3 children, all under the age of 10. I'm also a Zen mum, so a little extra added spice there in my house. But really, my story sort of began when I was younger. I was very much raised with this sort of beautiful traditional family who really wanted to make sure that we understood what it was to be raised a girl and a boy. It was very ingrained in us that being a girl, there was only certain things that you were allowed to do. Now, I am pleased to say that my parents have changed their views now. So, you know, they have also evolved, as have I. But when we were younger, it was very much understood that, like, for example, I couldn't ride a bicycle, but my brother could. I still can't ride one, actually, but that's not due to my husband's lack of trying. But there was lots of things that I understood growing up that I could and couldn't do. And that's sort of how my journey began. Just really having ingrained in me what I was allowed to do, what I wasn't allowed to do. But over the years, I understood that respect was this thing, particularly being a girl and growing into a young woman. You know, I remember one of my earliest memories of like having family round and going into the kitchen and being given a tray and automatically understanding that I had to serve, you know, the elder gentleman first, the dads, the uncles, the grandfathers. My father had this very traditional view because that's how he was raised and that's how my mum was raised. So they instilled that into me. So having this really sort of polite way of behaving, the way I dressed, the way I behaved, it was just, yeah, it became just natural, this way of learning, this way of downloading this sort of who I was becoming. But it wasn't until I was older that I realized that I'd become such a people pleaser. And that's sort of where the journey began, realizing that actually being such a people pleaser meant that I started to have toxic relationships because I was allowing people to treat me in certain ways. It was the same in workplaces as well. I was finding that I was working extra hours to please everyone because I had this sort of mentality built into me. And it was when I broke all those chains and realized actually enough is enough. And most of that happened around the time I had my firstborn, which was a girl. And I suddenly realized, oh my goodness, do I want to raise her the way I was raised with these beliefs? And actually, although some of it is wonderful, it wasn't all that I was then. And I wanted those things to change. So I sort of began this sort of journey over the last 20 years of really evolving myself, which is why I sort of launched Evolvology, because I realized that my journey was one that, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here 20 years ago. In fact, even 10 years ago, I deleted every picture of myself. I just didn't have this confidence, this way I trust myself now. And a lot of that was about how, you know, I learned to be who I was. So that's sort of, yeah, that's sort of the journey of what I've been on, sort of just relearning, unlearning things that I'd learned to sort of reclaim those parts of me that maybe I didn't really get a chance to when I was sort of younger. So that's pretty much the journey.
It's very interesting what you say about people pleasing, because you hear it a lot now, don't you? Especially in like social media. And I think people pleasing, I think it's when we go overboard with it. I think that's the issue, isn't it? It's all very well, like, you know, I think everyone in work wants to be able to make sure they're happy with what they're doing, make sure people around them are happy with their performance and all the rest of it. But I think it's probably when you go above and beyond and well beyond wanting to overplease, where it gets to the point where you're kind of sacrificing your own well-being, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that we, it's even in schools, isn't it? It's how we sort of, you know, teach our young children how to behave and be respectful. And we want to please the teachers, and we want to please the workplace. And we know that promotion comes when we please, and we want to please our parents, even when we're, you know, it's just this constant need to please others. But we don't always have those lessons in, okay, so how do we please you? What do you want to do? What do you want to enjoy? And we don't always get those moments, I think, you know, even in those teenage years, you know, deciding who we want to become. I think it's better now. I mean, I'm 43, so things are changing now. But I still think, yeah, there's this real need to please. And I think also, you know, you mentioned about things like social media. And I think there's this need to be part of something, you know, wanting to fit in and being able to fit in. You have to look a certain way and be a certain way. And we get that from social media and school and workplace and parents. And again, you've got to sit down and think to yourself, okay, but who am I? Who do I really want to be? And what parts have I learned that actually don't fit me or don't belong to me? You know, I call this a blueprint. I call it, when you are born, you are given a name, a family, parents, a race, religion, people to raise you, the schools that you go to. You don't get to make any of those decisions. It's a beautiful thing, don't get me wrong, but we don't make any of those decisions. It's all these downloads about who you are and who you're going to become. And, you know, it's there's so much of it. When do we stop and actually say, okay, but who am I? Who do I want to be? Okay, maybe I'm 20 or 30 or 40 now, but I still get to stop everything and say, actually, I want to change something. And actually, change is the hardest part. The hardest part. I mean, I did this with a group of about 150 women, and the feedback, which was kind of what I expected, was quite horrific. I just asked them to wake up the next day and say, I said to them, make a cup of tea tomorrow morning in a completely different way. So the first hot beverage you make, have a different hot beverage. Try it in a different cup that you never normally use. Make it in a different order. Everyone was completely thrown out, and my messages in the morning were just, how could you do this to me? How could you make a hot beverage a completely different way? It was awful. It's because we're so habitual, aren't we? We really love that routine of how we do things. As soon as you do something different, it's uncomfortable. So now if I said to you, if you hate your job, why don't you go and quit? The uncomfortability of breaking sometimes even the toxic relationships you have are so, so difficult. So we stay where we are. And that's my journey, breaking some of those parts that were actually the hardest to do, to walk away from a career of 20 years that I loved, but I knew just wasn't fitting me.
Absolutely. Do you think in the educational system, we should be taught more to think, like, to become more confident about who we are and to develop and, you know, make decisions?
Yes, absolutely. I think that when you look at putting 30 children in a classroom, the same classroom for a whole year, and with the same children for 6 years sometimes, that when you look at that, that's not how life works. You know, we are used to moving and changing, and, you know, and I think that times have really changed. I think the school system, personally, I find very outdated. But yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be great to see more being taught about, yeah, who are you? Who do you want to be? But in a more sort of personalized way. But I think also that takes time. It's not one of those classes that you could just throw in. I think it's something that should be happening, you know, all of the time at home, at school. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the school system is very, very outdated in my opinion.
Can you tell us what inspired you to, I know you've spoken a bit about it, but if we go into a bit more detail about what inspired you to create Evolve Virology and Feminology UK Retreats?
Yeah, so Evolvology was really born through just seeing my own journey. So when I was working and, you know, within my career and stuff like that, when I did my degree, when I did all these things, I mentioned before, like being a bit of a people pleaser. But what I realised was, as I started to break those chains and started to figure out who I was, I really started to look at, you know, personal development and self-development. And I started to work with incredible people like Bob and Linda Proctor. You know, I remember flying out to Canada just to be in that circle and to learn and to grow. And I started to looking, you know, at how I could, you know, just learn about who I really wanted to be. And Evolvology was born because what I realized was the person that I was, you know, even like I said, going back about 6 years ago, is not the person that I am now. I remember when we got married 15 years ago with my husband, photos was absolutely not, you know, speaking on a radio station, absolutely not. The level of self-trust I had in myself, and some people call it confidence, I call it self-trust, was very, very low. And that made me struggle with lots of different things, And seeing my own growth and seeing how I've been able to move from, you know, areas of my life that were very toxic into a loving relationship and, you know, raising my girls and my boy to, you know, have a sort of a better way of understanding themselves and the world. And just seeing that I could, you know, be an entrepreneur, but actually support other entrepreneurs, both in business and in life, for them to grow and really align with themselves with truly what they want, not just what was sort of taught for them to be and become. Just seeing all of that come to life for me and others really made me say, okay, what can I really create if I launch something like Evolvology, where you can come into my world and we work together, where you know what you desire, but I'm there to support you. So it was sort of born from saying, so here's this girl, you know, who didn't know who she was, who wouldn't allow a picture to be taken, who would never speak publicly, who was so unconfident in who she was that I would never say no to anyone. I was people pleasing, to getting to where I am today, where I can quite happily sit here and feel confident in who I am, making big decisions about my life, moving, you know, we've moved recently from London all the way to Cheshire, a big move, especially when you've got children. And fighting for my children's education and all these things that I've done. I don't think I would have done that 10 years ago, again, because I just didn't trust myself. I didn't believe in myself that I could make the changes that I have. And now I know I can. It's about sharing that with others.
It sounds like you went through a journey of a lot of self-reflection and possibly journaling or et cetera. Would that be right?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, all of the above. It was about journaling. It was about healing. It was about understanding, just reclaiming as well those parts that you want to be, but you're too scared to be. I think sharing with others as well, like just sharing with my partner, sharing with my family, you know, making them understand that, you know, I was grateful for them raising me the way they did, but actually that wasn't who I wanted to be. And I wanted to change that mold. And that's a hard thing to do when your parents, you know, let's be honest, when we're born, they already have an idea of who you're going to be. And that's sort of who you become as you sort of grow up. But so to change that, it's like, oh, hang on a minute, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely been a real journey of just bringing lots of different things in.
What does Evolvology mean to you and how does it guide the work you do?
It guides me in really looking and supporting people that come into my world in any way they need. And I think that that's the really important part, because so, I mean, I do business coaching and sort of life coaching, and I think they come hand in hand, because what I find is, you know, a lot of business coaches have a very specific way of doing things. You know, we're going to do A, we're going to do B, and the result is going to be C. I don't always see it that way for every individual. And I think it's really important sometimes that we look at someone's individual past, where they are now, and also where they want to go. And actually understanding where you want to go sometimes is the most important part. And I often like to start with that. And Evolvology gives them that sort of space to do it in, where you're very free to explore all three elements. And often I'll say, what do you want to do? What is that future vision? What, you know, I love to say to people, what do you want to be known for? Because actually, that's a really important question, because sometimes we take on so many different roles and so many different hats and we spin all the plates. But when you say to someone, what do you want to be known for? And then they tell you, it's sometimes not what they're doing at that time, but they want to get to that place. So then we go back and we look at what's stopping them do it. And again, often it's that real self-trusting of, you know, understanding they can have it and they can create it and they can become it. But all those things that are holding them back are, you know, potentially, you know, generational beliefs or, you know, things like that. And also just a healing journey. You know, I often say to people, it's a bit like, you know, the full wardrobe that a lot of us have right now. If I open my wardrobe, often I would look at it and think there is nothing in here to wear, but it's full. It's full of clothes, but nothing in there I'd wear. Either it's too big, it's too small, it's outdated. You know, there's a wedding dress in there I'm never going to wear, but I'm keeping it. If we don't clear some of that out and make room for new clothes, then we just stay with this full wardrobe. So being able to work with someone, you know, like the Evolvologist, helps us clear out some of that wardrobe to make room for the new stuff, all the things that we want to create. When we talk about what do you want to become, let's make room for those things.
Absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So thank you, Earl, for that introduction into what you do. Let's talk a bit more about your retreats. I mean, they're described as luxurious and deeply personal. How do they differ from traditional wellness retreats?
So I love a retreat. I really do. And there's some absolutely incredible ones out there. And one of the reasons why I actually launched it originally 4 years ago was purely because as a mum, I realised my freedoms had suddenly disappeared and I wanted those weekends away. But what I found was it was often sort of very early morning starts. You know, we were up at six and there was yoga and it's beautiful. And I love this. And it was very much, you know, sleeping in a teepee or shared rooms. I really wanted that luxury. You know, as a busy mum as well, I wanted to be able to take women away to have this space together so we could, you know, have those intimate times together collectively. But actually, I wanted my own room and I wanted my own bathroom as well. Now, some people say this is luxury because often at sort of wellness retreats, there's this sort of, you know, very unity and community sort of gathering feel. But I wanted that sort of when you come to my retreat, when we're together and it's beautiful. But it's also is a very unique sort of journey for you individually. So having your own room and bathroom was one thing, not having the early mornings and just, yeah, just doing things a little bit differently. So we don't actually even do yoga at our retreats. I decided after the first year, actually, we don't need that. We do other physical activity. A lot of it is optional. There is some morning activities you can be involved with, but we don't start until about 9 o'clock. So it's lovely. So our first session starts at 9. So you get a bit of a break while you're there as well. And I think that's what it is. I mean, the luxury also comes in the locations. So I always book the entire estate in really idyllic places. You know, we've done Lake District and Devon and Cornwall next year in March. Yeah, it's always just the thing, isn't it? Like we've got a lake there as well or a hot tub, and it's just having that little bit extra, I think.
What activities, if you can talk a bit more about the activities that yourselves do?
Every year is slightly different because, you know, it's not because I have some of the ladies that come every year. So I like to do different things. And one of the things that they always talk about is the Sunday plate smashing, which is always a bit of fun. And the idea behind that is, you know, that we spend the weekend sort of writing on these plates and we write down, you know, emotions and thoughts and feelings, and we release things that we desire. We also release things that no longer serve us anymore. And we write all over these plates. We have lovely coloured pens. We get quite involved. And the last day, you know, we smash those plates in a beautiful ceremony followed by a really luxury dinner, a bit of a celebration, you know, and the rest of the weekend is also just, you know, things that you would normally find at a retreat. You know, some of it's meditation, some of it is, you know, more spiritually guided, some of it is a little bit more in depth in terms of, you know, more feminine touch. So we will talk about different sort of elements from tantric to womb healing, spiritual healing. So there's lots of different things that happen, and every year it's slightly different, but it's all about the same really idea: the reclaiming, the exploring, and of course the evolving. My favorite word.
Smashing plates. That's brilliant. It's kind of, you kind of take the frustration of whatever it is just out of smashing that plate.
Yeah, I think that was born because I don't know if you've ever been to like a big summit, but you go along and you sit there. And I remember flying all the way out to Canada and being at this summit and listening to Bob Proctor, who, bless him, I love him. He's just a wonderful guru of mine. I follow for many years, bless him. And I listened to him for a whole 2 hours, completely in awe of everything he said, and then came home and didn't remember all of it. And I remember thinking, how do I really connect with everything we've been talking about, everything we've been feeling about, in a moment where you take it with you? We often remember those bigger moments at a wedding, don't we? You know, when something big happens, you sort of remember it, but the rest just becomes a bit of a blur. And that plate smashing has become a real thing. So we take all of the learning and just really push it into that sort of plate moment. It's quite unique, but a lot of fun. A little rage.
Brilliant, honestly, it sounds brilliant. What's the feedback been from the clients that you work with?
The feedback's the best part, really. Lots of different things have happened to so many different of clients. I don't even know where to start. I mean, the first year, I remember I was very nervous about hosting the retreat. I didn't really know what the outcome was going to be. But we had lots of women within 12 months. Just, I can't even describe the transformations. I had one lady who had been stuck in her job for 18 years. Within 3 months of leaving my retreat, you know, and working with her as well, one-to-one, she completely changed her life. She is now, you know, bless her, I love her to pieces. She's 52, she's a PT. She's just on her first weight lifting competition and bodybuilding competition. And, you know, she worked, you know, for 18 years, a manager in a call center. You know, it's about saying, what do you really want? What do you really want to become? You know, I've had incredible women who have been stuck, you know, in jobs that they don't love, in relationships that are, you know, not healthy and rather toxic. And again, you know, seeing three or four of them, even from the first year, you know, now having healthy relationships and new work and new jobs. But I think the biggest thing is just sitting and talking to them and listening to this real difference in the tone of their voice, that they're now talking from this place of, I really know what I want now. I know who I am now, and I'm reclaiming this, again, this self-trusting of myself, making decisions that I really believe in, rather than sitting in that fear of, I want to do these things, but I'm too scared, you know, or I want to do these things, but again, making that cup of tea in the morning. I've done the same thing all of my life, many people, and changing it. And that's always the beauty of, like, the testimonials that I get. It's just that transformation people go through.
I mean, you must feel brilliant when you hear the testimonials, because you really feel, as well as you growing the business, you really know you're benefiting people as well. So it must be fantastic to kind of, you know, make a living out of, you know, helping people themselves develop and, you know, go further. And that was an excellent example of that, where this lady, 18 years, she's been working the same job, and she left your retreat and she did like a complete different change in lifestyle, which is, I think, is amazing, which is inspiring in itself, isn't it?
It really is. Honestly, I can only tell you that I'm always feeling just constant gratitude, real gratitude in my heart that I get to meet people like her and watch them on this journey, you know, 3 years, seeing things developing in her life. And, you know, she'll come to me occasionally and say, I've got this idea, but I'm not sure. And I'm like, right, you know, and we work through it, and then she takes these big steps. And it's going from not taking any steps and staying comfortable to actually saying, you know, and the truth is, we have to take the risk sometimes. How they pay off is how they pay off. You know, I like to think that everything pays off, because I don't believe in having regrets, and I don't believe in, you know, everything. Like, if something goes wrong, does it go wrong, or actually was you meant to learn from it? You know, they're not always nice things. You know, we have to be honest with each other. But taking that leap of faith in yourself is so important. If you can turn around to say to someone else, someone's face, you can say to them, I believe in you. I trust you. You can have this. You can do this. We have to be able to do that for ourselves as well.
Absolutely. Self-trust seems to be the cornerstone of your philosophy. Why is it so important? How do you help women cultivate it?
Yeah, absolutely. It really is, because, again, it's just been my own journey. It's been a real slow learning journey. You know, it takes a while. But once I sort of sat down, I go, where's all this come from, Elle? Like, how have you created all these things? You know, when you've had a problem, or you've failed at something, or, you know, when something hasn't gone your way, or when, you know, I've had to heal from sort of past trauma, how have you done these things? And I've realized that actually every time I've got through something, every time I've had success, every time something's gone really well for me and something beautiful has come into my world, it's because I've trusted myself enough to sort of go out there and do it. And it's not an easy thing to do. So it's such a big part of what I do, because I also feel like when you're born, you sort of, I see it as like a little dial, you know, like those little dimmer switches you have in your homes. Like, when you're born, you're a 10. There's nothing more confident than a 10. You are born to fall on your bum 20 times, get back up and learn to walk. And that's natural, isn't it? You don't sit there and go, now I'm too scared to do it. Because when you're a baby, your dial is a number 10. But what happens is, sometimes maybe you're a baby, you fall that last time, you actually hit your head this time. And your body goes, oh, hang on a minute, I'm now a 9, because I'm going to be a bit more cautious now. And then as you grow up, you know, maybe you've got a best friend you break up with, or a partner you break up, or your boyfriend cheats on you, or maybe you're bullied at school. And this happens throughout our lives, you know, and what happens is that dial begins to get turned down. You know, we go from a 10 to a 9 to an 8, and that self-trust in yourself and that confidence in yourself goes down. So really, self-trust is so important, because really all my work is about is turning it back up. So you start to reclaim that confident person you once was. And I use the dial switch because I think it's a good way of understanding, you know, as human beings, how, you know, the subconscious and the conscious mind works, which is what I talk to my clients a lot about, understanding the difference. But just being able to say, well, actually, you know, you're carrying all these things, which is what's dimming your light. How do we reclaim all those things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like what you just said there about the subconsciousness and conscious. You've got to kind of bring it in sync with each other, isn't it? If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, the subconscious mind is like your library. You know, it hosts everything you've ever seen, heard, imagined, watched, felt, emotions, everything. Your subconscious is your library, you know, and your conscious mind is a bit like a notepad, you know, where you write your ideas. Things like, I know I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to launch my own business. But then what happens is your subconscious mind is very quick, the library that goes through all the things that have ever happened. And it's quite quick to say to you, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you're good enough? Are you sure you're confident enough? Have you got the skill? Have you seen so-and-so doing it already? Maybe so-and-so did it and they failed. What makes you... And you end up sitting there going from this incredibly amazing idea to, oh, I don't know yet. And then we don't action it. And then we sit in there because your subconscious... Really, the only job of it, in my opinion, is to keep you safe and comfortable. So whenever I have an idea and then I get the second thought, which is, oh, maybe I shouldn't do it, I know that my subconscious is there to keep me safe and comfortable at all costs. So to break that barrier, to turn around and say, hang on a minute, my notepad, I'm writing my ideas and it's that I want to do this. I want to go out and create this. I want to launch this. I want to do that. I want to try a new haircut. Whatever it may be, you have to be brave enough to say, actually, I'm going to go and do it anyway. And then the subconscious goes a little bit quiet, but understanding the difference between those two voices is hugely important and something that, yeah, has definitely helped me on my journey, sort of understanding, you know, the two.
You also combine spiritual practices with business strategy. How does that work and who do you support through this approach?
So I sort of mentioned earlier about sort of in terms of business, I feel like everyone... I don't feel like everything's like ABC. We can't just move through everything the same way. And it's the same with, you know, healing and learning and growing. And when someone says, this is the life that I want, I always say to them, okay, well, let's start with looking at how we desire it, why we desire it. And the spiritual part comes in where, for me, so for example, I'm a Reiki healer. I'm also a visionary psychic. So for me, although these are not the
loads of stuff. We have to do another few shows, I think. Right. What was that last one? Visionary. What was that one?
So, yeah. So I call myself a visionary psychic because I have incredible vision for, you know, when I work with people, I can see certain things. And the reason why I don't lead with that is purely because I feel like as most human beings, same with you, I'm pretty sure, you have like a toolbox of skills, but we don't use everything, do we? But I do have this sort of toolbox where I say, what do you need? And if you need that, if we need to go in and, you know, do a little bit of, you know, sort of visionary psychic where we talk about your past, we talk about loved ones maybe that have passed, if they've really affected your journey, then we use that. If it's healing, then we look at maybe Reiki healing. So there's lots of different elements of bringing sort of some of that in. You know, it can be an oracle card reading where we just allow guidance to come in and do stuff like that as well. You know, I'm accredited life coach, trauma informed coach, so some of it's more practical, some of it's more spiritual. And I think just having all these tools in one box really means that when you come to me, it's like a circle of information and we harness the bits that you need individually. So there's no set, like I said, practice, like we do this, this and this and everything's done. It's what do you need? Let's look at this. Let's research it. So let's really feel into, you know, what bits we can pull out of this magic box and, you know, work with. It's more fun like that too, I think, as well, more individual.
Absolutely. I think it's brilliant that you do so many different there's just so many different aspects apart from, you know, as in the business and the retreats, you've got so many different other skills which you obviously hone in and, you know, you use that during the retreats and when you're working with people, which is fantastic. You kept that quiet, L. Anyway, I have to bring you back. I'll talk to you after the show again about this. You talk about the importance of women evolving. What does it mean to be an evolving woman in today's world?
I think it means everything, actually. I really do. I mean, I can't believe it's only been, you know, just over 100 years since we got the right to vote. And now I sit here today and I look around the world, and it's not just with women in business and women that are on a healing journey. You know, I really do see what's happening in the world right now. And I support so many different causes. You know, being a Send mum, I support a lot of, you know, women in business, Send mums. I'm actually doing some work with Send dads at the moment, which is a little bit different for me. And women across the world that, you know, are places, you know, like Sudan and Congo and Palestine, where, you know, things are very different. And I think that it's a movement that's happening right now across the world, quite frankly. It's not just about, like I say, business and people in front of me. It's not about that. It's about saying, as a woman, how do we get to a point where we can stand up and be equal? How do we as women move away from the way that I was raised, which is, you know, women need to be in a certain box and fit a certain mold? There's so much work that needs to be done. And I know that it's beginning, particularly in the last few months, with things that are happening in America and across the world. Like I said, I think that, you know, again, we go through these shifts every few years in energy. And I feel like at the moment, which we can have a whole nother show on, there's a real shift in the way that women are stepping up. And being part of that movement for me is very important. I want to raise my daughters in a place where they feel strong in who they are and in their, you know, in their body as a woman. And I think, yeah, I think it's everything to me to keep talking about, you know, female evolution and yeah, I could talk about this forever.
No, that's fine. It's fine. We're just going to a quick break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So, Elle, for someone who's feeling stuck in life or business, what advice would you give to them to start their journey of evolution?
The first thing that I would say is what I said earlier, actually. What do you want to be known for? Like, what do you really want to be known for? Like, what's the legacy that you want to leave behind? You know, we are all going to leave this world, you know, one day. Sad view there, but, you know.
I know. Elle, you know what? can I be honest with you? I think it happens in your 40s where you do a lot of, because I've been speaking to a lot of people in their 40s, and then I've noticed a lot of people reflect. We all reflect, absolutely, since we're born. But especially in your 40s, there's so much reflection that goes on. And I think it's that point where you think, hold on a second, is this what I really wanted to do in life? Is this really where I want to go? And you really start kind of challenging yourself, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. I think it's actually getting younger and younger, actually. The last 5 years has been a bit of a shift, but definitely when you're getting to those years, and I think it's also because you realize you've been doing the same thing for so long. And, you know, you start to think about your future, which looks very different now, because when you get to 40 and 50, you're feeling, you know, like, how much time have I got left? Which, you know, I'd like to say is plenty of time to make changes. But often we feel like that subconscious and that safe and comfortable has now become really ingrained. And it's even harder to say, you know, I've been doing this job for 20, 30 years. I've been doing this, you know, I've lived in this place. I've driven this car. I've had this, you know, it's very hard to then go, let's just change this. Let's just change everything. It's very scary. But we can. I think that's, you know, that's the thing. Like, so if people said to me, you know, how do I change if I'm feeling stuck? So I don't even believe that stuck is even a thing. I feel like we're always evolving, you know, as human beings, we're actually vibrational beings. So we're actually always moving. It just depends on where you're moving to. So you get to decide that.
Absolutely. Do you reinforce that positivity in your when you're working with people, especially in your retreats as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It really is. I mean, the retreats particularly are very much, because we only have a few days together. We sort of get there on the Friday, leave on the Monday. It's very much about discovery, you know, really about exploring who you are, everything about you, you know, from mind, heart, and, you know, womb space even. You know, we really explore particularly those three areas because that's where we carry so much as well. We carry stress, we carry weight, we carry, you know, wounds from the past, we carry ideas, creativity, like we carry so much in just those three areas alone. So it is all about exploring so we know who we are, and also maybe things that we've missed and we go, huh, I never thought of things like that. And having time away definitely makes a huge difference to, you know, having a 1 hour or 90 minute session with someone is one thing, but to be completely away, I don't know, I just think it's the most beautiful thing and the beautiful gift that you can give to yourself.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. You know, what's next for Evolvology and Feminology UK retreats?
Well, Evolvology is always evolving, so I can tell you 100 things that are planned for 2025. I will tell you, though, we do something every year that I think is beautiful, one of the most popular things that I do, and that is just our New Year's cleanse. So like me, like many people, the New Year's resolution is coming. We're all going to be asked, what is your New Year's resolution? I did this every single year and failed every single time. I just seem to sort of pick something out because I expect to be asked, and then I realised that actually, it's such a pointless thing. So what I decided to do about 4 years ago when I first launched Evolvology was to do the New Year's cleanse. And it was all about saying, let's stop doing the whole resolution. Let's look at last year. What did you do? Let's look at all the good things and actually take a moment to celebrate them, allow our bodies to absorb all that celebration that sometimes we're just too busy to acknowledge. And if there were things that we want to let go, you know, in the healing journey, we do that too. And just taking actually a time to do that. And then maybe for some people, setting goals for the rest of 2025, what that's going to look like. So in January we do the New Year cleanse, which is online. It's a free thing that I do every single year, so anyone can join. And we're going to do some local sessions as well, so that'll be a bit different this year. First I'll be doing it live in person. And Feminology, our next one is in March, and I normally host them once a year in March because it becomes a very big event. But because my waiting list is so long, I have decided to add a second one. We have a beautiful new venue as well that we're looking at with the most incredible waterfall. So yeah, it'll be a waterfall venue, hopefully. So that will be all hopefully launched in the beginning of next year. So yeah, there's always something really exciting happening. And I think that's what I love as well. People always say to me, how do you always change things? Why are you always coming up with new ideas? And I think it's because as everyone else around me is evolving, so am I. And I think that I'm just finding, you know, hopefully bigger and better ways to support more people, you know, with that big toolbox I was telling you about.
Absolutely. Is it just for the ladies? Is there anything for the men or anything planned in future for men?
So most of my work is with women currently, although I have just done an incredible project with some dads, 14 Sen dads working with Sen Reform England. They're a Sen community supporting sort of change within the Woodsend. Obviously, there's a lot of work going on into that. And we're just literally today, the next few days, about to launch a book with 14 dads sharing their really sort of intimate, slightly hilarious at the same time, stories about becoming a dad, because we did one last year with mothers because I work with women a lot. And just sharing the journey of becoming a Sen mum was so powerful. We sold about 4,000 copies within a week. We raised loads of money for the charity. So we're doing another one, but for dads, because I think dads do get slightly overlooked sometimes. And the journey of a parent is already hard. It's a huge learning journey. I think being a Sen parent definitely adds, you know, extra depth to it. So there's a little bit of work with dads going on at the moment, and I might be bringing that in into the end of next year. Although, yeah, most of my work at the moment is with women.
Have you had men request to use your services?
Yeah, I have. I have had a few, and I have worked with some individually, but it's more one-to-one. We have also looked at launching a couples retreat in 2026. So that's just very, very early stages. I wasn't going to talk about that. So I've thrown that in. But yeah, it would be really, really nice to work, particularly with couples. But I also think that, and people ask me, and I will be honest, people say to me, why don't you work with men? And it's not that I don't. It's just that I do also find that, you know, sometimes men need, you know, a very specific set of skills and understanding. And although I've done some incredible work with, you know, men, you know, this year, sort of working very privately It's just a little bit different. And I do know lots of male coaches that do such great work that I sometimes think that, you know, they're the people that can really help more. And I think that's always the right thing to do, to make sure that we're helping the people that we really are equipped to work with.
No, that's fair enough. Absolutely. And the retreats, are they in the UK and abroad or a bit everywhere? Or where are they usually?
So currently they are in the UK only. I chose UK only for now because I find that just with traveling, just with parents and getting more time off, and there's this sort of extra element for doing it in, you know, abroad. So at the moment, yeah, we've done sort of Devon, we've done an area in Hull, which was beautiful. We've done Lake District, and then March we're doing Cumbria. So we sort of just move around to different venues whenever they pop up. It's quite hard to find big luxury retreat spaces, particularly as I sort of love this having your own bathroom and bedroom. So sometimes you have to really shop around to find, you know, the best and biggest places. But yeah, mainly in the UK for now.
No worries. And where can people find your services, online or?
So on all social media, you can find me at El Jedras. I'm sure if you type in Evolvology, you will also find me. But yeah, I'm under El Jedras everywhere. Instagram and Facebook mainly are my pages.
Brilliant. El, thanks so much for coming on the show. What you're doing sounds fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me, Gavin. It's been absolutely lovely. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.